no more National Lampoon? Are they just gone?
I think they're they have completely gone.
Well, that really sucks because
although the Harvard Lampoon, which the National Lampoon came out of, is still around.
Yeah, Harvard Lampoon, which was just a bunch of guys at school who wrote comedy, and a lot of people came out of it into Saturday Night Live and stuff like that. Decided to incorporate, I guess, and become National Lampoon.
Well,
who produced the original National Lampoon's Vacation?
If you've seen anything that they produced in the last 10 years, you know why they went bankrupt.
Didn't they make a movie with Dane Cook?
Probably.
Oh, Van Wilder. That was the National Lampoon movie.
Van Wilder was Ryan Reynolds.
Dane Cook, Ryan Reynolds. But I was like...
The other guy that looks exactly
but
like
him. I'm just saying, like, that was relatively recent.
They had a string of, like, you know, National Lampoon's presents, you know, Van Wilder presents the weird Indian guy from Van Wilder. Like, they kept getting... like milking more and more and more, and you know, finally somebody said, "You're gonna have to go out of business."
Didn't they do a movie with Leslie Nielsen and Samuel Jackson?
What?
As cops?
Sure.
Am I hallucinating?
Yeah, you are.
That sounds like something.
It sounds like something they'd do.
It definitely does.
Which is sad because National Lampoon used to be a wonderful source of humor, and it just the brand has gotten more and more tattered over the years, but certainly one of the gems in the collection was the original Vacation movie.
Yeah.
And even arguably the two other Vacation movies, European Vacation and Christmas Vacation.
There was more than that, though.
Oh, I know, but those are the ones that you could watch.
Those are the ones that you could watch. Even can't even say I would really recommend European Vacation.
Yeah, it's okay.
That's one of those movies I saw, like, 100 times when I was 11 or something.
Right.
I went through a vacation phase. It was right before my Mel Brooks phase.
Wow. Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I remember I saw the original Vacation when it came out and wasn't supposed to because it was rated R.
Ooh. Ooh.
And
I saw it in theaters. I'd already been seeing rated R movies for you know, because at that point my parents were just like, eh.
Yeah, whatever, he's going to raise himself.
Yeah.
Did it have self-cleaning
kid.
It?
It did have boobies.
It did have boobies in it. Yes.
It was a hard R for the time and was in many ways the model for the R-rated films that, you know, started up again like 15 years later.
And in the 80s, really like, you know, there wasn't any PG-13 until the very end of the stretch. And so it was like, if you said one fuck, if you showed one boob, then that was what you got.
If you gave a fuck and you had a boob.
Yes.
You would be the movie Vacation.
And it pretty much was Chevy Chase's biggest theatrical hit, I think.
Arguably, you know, he made some...
Fletch?
Either Remigos? That or Fletch.
No, not Remigos.
or maybe, you know, I remember, you know, a lot of people don't remember it, but Foul Play, which was one of his first, like...
I remember, with Goldie Hawn.
Yeah, and it did very well.
It was a good movie. Yeah. Still is a funny movie.
Still is a good movie.
Yeah, I don't know what happened to Chevy Chase, but...
Apparently nothing happened other than people discovered that he has been a huge asshole all this time.
People just didn't enjoy working with him, which didn't stop Beverly D'Angelo from putting herself under the torture tree every couple years for another Vacation.
Apparently so, yes. And like none of the kids, like they had a different set of kids in every movie. And speaking of which, that's what this Vacation is about. Ed Helms stars as the grown-up son of Clark Griswold, Rusty.
Rusty Griswold.
In the interim, he has become a airline pilot. He works on a horrible commuter airline called Econoline or Econo Air, and.
But he didn't do that bad.
He married Christina Applegate.
And he lives in a lovely suburb of Chicago, probably in a 75 or something house.
A 75?
Yeah. 750?
Yeah, there we go. Okay. That's more like it. I was like, if you think that costs like 75 grand, you're living in another part
in
of the
Detroit.
Century. Yeah.
Pilots make quite a bit of money, and enough to rent a horrible, horrible vehicle from Albania or
and that's the thing.
Tartan Prancer. Well,
he's been going. They've had a vacation cabin in, you know, some horrible portion of America nobody would ever really want to go to that they've been going to for years and years and years and years. And Ed Helms discovers that his wife is kind of very dissatisfied with that. And he gets this brainstorm that he's going to recreate his, you know, the original Vacation He's going to take his family to Wally World, much like his father did before him. And then mayhem ensues.
Yeah, despite being an airline pilot, they choose to drive. But last minute on Memorial Day, so as Sarah was saying, they have to rent the only thing left, which is this bizarre.
So they can recycle the joke from the first movie, which is Clark Griswold got a horrible station
wagon.
Family
truckster.
And this is the family truckster, and this is the... It's the new version of the family truckster, the Tartan Prancer, the number one car of Albania.
Which, if you ask me, the jokes involving it and its fob that has like 50 buttons on it that are mysteriously labeled is the funniest part of it.
It's one of the funniest things, and I feel bad because I don't have anything against the Albanian people, and I'm sorry about all that genocide.
But like, it's too bad it wasn't the Dutch, so I could just
exactly
hated them openly.
Exactly,
but then it would have been quite a nice.
It would have been
car.
A great car. Yeah,
it would have been like practical.
Run on hemp oil.
Yeah. My God, this is a Volvo, and it runs on dreams.
This movie was a interesting, like
poop joke.
And also some callbacks to or throwbacks to the original movie.
Certainly in beats and tonally, there's a lot of callbacks to the original.
And sometimes that works, and a lot of times it don't.
But I never felt the desperation that you feel in the other movies. And I don't know if it's maybe like because Ed Helms has such a positive attitude throughout the whole thing.
Yeah.
That kind of ruins that. But I didn't feel like there was that much at stake. They could always just hop on a plane and get out of there.
I also feel that in the original, like, certainly there were certain absurd touches, but for the most part, you could be like, oh, yeah, and this is kind of what, like, the reason it was a National Lampoon movie to begin with is it was based on a series of essays in National Lampoon magazine where a guy actually was talking about these were the miserable fucking family vacations I went on. And the first movie, you can very much go like, yeah, I could totally see this happening. In fact, hell, I'm a white middle-class guy. I've been on that trip.
Except for maybe strapping grandma to the roof.
And even then, it's just like, well, she's dead in rigor mortis. What are you going to do? In this, there's a lot of tonal, like, frequencies that don't really come together, whereas sometimes it's just being really, really kind of absurd, and sometimes it's trying to go like, no, this is actually a movie about family and togetherness with comedic elements.
Well, trying to model itself after the original film, like you said, sometimes uncomfortably, but it never has that feeling like this is plausible at all.
Yeah. Right.
It goes into the field of such utter absurdity for the sake, usually, of gross-out jokes.
Yeah.
That it's those moments that you're like, oh, come on, movie. You have a lot of the right elements to make a film, and you have the right idea to make a film with the spirit of the original and go with it. And yet, you keep getting lost in what you think audiences want to see in this
exactly.
day and age.
It's like you'll be in the middle of this relatively decent shout-out to the original movie, and then all of a sudden the brakes squeal. They hit a bad key on the fob, and you get a Judd Apatow joke.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or worse, an Adam Sandler joke.
Yeah, no, there's no way shortage of those in here either. I guess it's the way that, like, some of the people that they're meeting go so far into absurdity to be nothing like real people in any way, shape, or form. There are a few nice moments in this, though. There's a few cameos. I know one in particular that makes actually make me jump because she, like, exploded in the seat next to me.
If anybody knows me, it's not who you're thinking. It's the other person you're thinking about.
And as absurd as he is, Chris Hemsworth's role in here Rusty's sister's husband is actually kind of funny.
That was hilarious.
There's a running joke where he like keeps making these like Texas down home like comparisons, metaphors to things, and everything for some reason is faucets.
Yeah.
It's like that's a running joke that actually it's just absurd enough to kind
of
work.
Yeah, I wanted more of a payoff with it, but still, like, you know, I at some point I was just like, well, if you're gonna go that far, I expect to find him fucking a faucet at some point, but we never got that.
That was the thing, is like there's a lot of stuff in here that feels like it's going to build to a bigger payoff.
Right.
And then it never really does. It was just a separate set piece.
Oh, and I just got to say, as a Texan and as a person who has been a Texan for a long time, if you know anything about cattle ranching, this film will just make you probably facepalm unto death.
I am a Texan and know nothing about cattle ranching, so you'll have to fill me in on that.
I'm neither Texan, nor have I ever seen a cow, ever.
Nor have I seen a cattle.
Nor do I know what grass and dune buggies are, whatever they were driving.
Those are quad bikes.
Yeah. I honestly had totally forgotten the original was by John Hughes.
Yes.
Totally forgotten that. This, unfortunately, is by John Francis Daly.
Yes, who, a.k.a. Sweets from Bones.
Who did, in fact, make one... or this is his first directed film. He did write the first Horrible Bosses film, which is very, very good. But he also wrote The Incredible Burt Wonderstone, Rapture Palooza, Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs 2, and Horrible Bosses 2, all of which...
Yeah, he hasn't been hitting them out of the park by any stretch of the imagination.
No, he has not. Although his last appearance was in Dude Bro Party Massacre 3. So
not as good as 2.
And he is John Francis Daly is he's the star of Freaks and Geeks, if for those of you who don't know.
He is indeed. He needs to try harder.
He does. And he seems like a nice guy. It's a shame they killed him off in Bones so that he could go off and do this shit.
Spoilers.
Yeah, I mean, and this isn't even
spoilers.
Like I said,
spoilers for like season 4 of Bones.
I don't think that this is a total waste of time either. I
mean,
we're not talking about pixels here.
There were some genuine there were some genuine laughs. Like you said, the stuff with the car is very funny.
Yep.
There's some well timed stuff here. There's some great cameos like Nick Kroll, who I'm a fan of. Does a great
nice
bit
to
up
see
here.
Him appearance.
Man, Christina Applegate is just made out of 2 tons of charm. She's you know, it's hard not to like her.
Christina Applegate, who always has that role of being like, you know, in one way or another, a sidekick to the comedy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she's on the side and she's like, you know, she chugs along and does what she's supposed to do very well.
Chugs along.
And here she actually gets a chance to have some bits that she's like the funny one.
Well, and I think,
she's good at it.
When people trust her with that, you know, like, I think she's one of the best part about Anchorman. You know, when people really trust her with that, she's got, you know, more than enough chops to go toe-to-toe with anybody doing this kind of stuff.
Yeah, I mean, the casting in this was really good, and
there
were people who know how to deliver comedy. Even the kids did a good job. The little kid who was the bully.
Bullied the older one.
Who said some horrible, horrible
things.
There
was a little bit of dissonance there, because like you're like, why isn't somebody knocking the dog shit out of this kid? And then like you get a little bit of a payoff for it, so I'm like,
all
right.
But also there's that point that you're like, that kid does kind of have it coming.
He
is a huge vagina, as the movie says.
There's some stuff that he says, and it's just like, you need to get that boy some help before he becomes a serial killer.
Yeah. But you know what's funny? Like, I couldn't help but think of a similar movie that came out a couple of years ago.
Silence of the Lambs?
Yeah, that. you're going to have to help me. With Jennifer Aniston... it was another road trip movie, sort of.
Oh, was it with Ed Helms as well?
Was
when
it?
They're in the Winnebago and they're pretending
wasn't
to
Ed
be...
Helms, it
no,
was,
it was Jason Sudeikis.
Jason Sudeikis.
Yeah.
Oh, so it wasn't Ed Helms. It was not Ed Helms.
It was not Ed Helms. Jason Sudeikis.
That's his professional acting.
It really is.
I mean, it kind of has like a similar feel, but it's way more twisted.
Yeah. No. Because they pretend to be a model family, and in reality, they're trying to make a drug run.
I actually kind of like that movie.
Yeah, no,
I liked it a lot, and I wanted this movie to be more like that. I wanted it to do some things that were different from what we would have seen in the 70s or the 80s when these types of movies were coming out, and it didn't. It had poop jokes, it had boob grabby jokes, it had nervous teenagers kind of jokes.
And it's sad because, like, you know, I listened to your Pixels review, and like Ashley was saying, like, this movie has a heart. It's got a firm beating heart, and
This movie, not Pixels.
I kind of wanted to root for it, and there are a couple of times where it kind of trusts itself and isn't being, like, slavish about, A, being the same thing as the first Vacation movie, and B, making like all of this, you know, bizarre potty humor for to get what they think is going to be laughs from a contemporary audience. There are moments of real heart that shine through that I like it, but they're so few and far in between that you just can't get on board the fucking roller coaster.
I agree, Kyle. I think you really summed that up pretty well. Mm-hmm. I think for me, one of the big problems is Ed Helms is just trying too hard.
There's a real please like us vibe in this whole thing, I will say.
Oh, yeah, there absolutely is. I get that he's supposed to be channeling Chevy Chase's, like, eternal optimist who every once in a while hits his breaking point and has a bit of a fit. He's really trying hard to be so similar to that, but, you know, and I'm not saying that, like, oh, Chevy Chase is a funnier guy than Ed Helms. I'm not saying that.
Because that's not true.
Chevy Chase hit it, like, with enough of a sense of, like, this is a real guy still. And right. Helms is just a living cartoon character. You know, I'm not for a second believe this guy is a person who could exist.
Who doesn't know what a rim job is?
Well.
It's true.
And what kid wouldn't Google it?
Yeah, exactly. You know, that was the thing. You go home immediately.
And your dad, what's a rim job? Well, and neither one of them know what it is. And you're like going, this kid is like 16.
Yeah.
He obviously has access to the internet. Yeah. He's heard kids say it at school. Why in the fuck would he ask his dad what a rim job was instead of just Googling it? Which, by the way, if you don't know and you're uncomfortable with sex stuff, do not Google it.
Yeah, I mean, that's just...
But you should.
Don't Google Rosebud either.
That's just an example of a joke that doesn't really work in 2015. Would have worked when the original Vacation came out. Pre-Google. It was just...
Yeah, in the 1980s, we were just figuring rim jobs out.
Yeah.
Yeah, we didn't. No one knew what it was.
No one had a butthole.
I went to the auto mechanic. I'm like, what do you need, buddy? I think I need a rim job.
Out back.
And I'm going to go across to the Super Salad and get my salad tossed.
After I got out of prison.
That was actually, boys and girls, if you don't know where that was invented, rim jobs were invented in prison.
Probably, for lack of anything better to do. What haven't we tried yet?
We could try knitting.
I'd rather do more butt stuff.
All right, let's go to final thoughts here, since we've gotten to the point that we're describing prison sex. Start with Sarah. Go.
Hey, man, it's this movie's just the shy of going there.
When are we going to have the describing prison sex podcast?
Yes,
it's all prison sex.
Finally. Oh, wait, you're going to be on Ragecast next weekend, so yes. You're good.
All right, good. I laughed a lot in this movie.
You did. I was sitting next to you
because I didn't pay for it, and I was thinking, you know what? I would have enjoyed this on a lazy Sunday with a bucket of ice cream. Yes, a bucket. Yes, a bucket.
And a bag of
ice cream as well.
A lazy Sunday is... Are we talking about the Chronic of Narnia here?
No. And I kind of grew up with the Vacation movies. Christmas Vacation was my favorite. And
that's because you're young.
I know. I mean, it was my favorite when I was like 11 years old. If I watched it now, I wouldn't enjoy it. And I don't know why, but I kind of enjoyed this. I laughed. The cameo took it over the top for me.
The one that shall not be named.
Shall not be named. So I'm going to give it 5 out of 10 pedophiles that drive a truck.
Wow.
Good Lord. And she still adores him. Bo?
It's kind of hard to get on board this movie, and it's a shame because, like I said, the people in it are likable. There's definitely a heart beating beneath it, but you know, it gets in its own way just over and over again. Whether it's, you know, ham-handedly making a reference to the first movie, or you know, throwing in you know, a shit joke because, hey, people think shit jokes are funny. By the way, that's not really true.
I laugh.
So, yeah, like Sarah, there were certainly points where I was giggling, but sometimes it was more out of discomfort than anything else. And my God, there were literally scenes in this movie I could not look at. It's... You know, it's just not cohesive enough to be worth a bother. You know, like Sarah says, wait until it comes out and it's a nice Sunday and maybe you're a little baked or hungover and watch
you
it.
You baked some cookies.
You'll be fine. Yes, cookies with oregano. I give it only 6 keys on that 10 key watch fob.
You know, this movie kept almost making me like it.
Mm-hmm.
There would be these points you're like, oh, okay, well, you're on the right path here. Keep going with that. You know, especially when...
Oh, you ran into a swamp full of shit.
Yeah, exactly. You're like... It felt like there was an original script that wasn't bad and had the right idea, and mm-hmm. then someone came in and wrote in a bunch of really absurd and gross-out jokes to flesh it out.
Yeah, it's like somebody did the opposite of punch-up with this.
Yeah, exactly.
They punched down.
They kicked down?
Where's Patton Oswalt when you need him?
Exactly.
You need him to get back to writing punch-up again.
You know what? This would have been a much better movie if he was in it, too.
Well, that's not always true. Oswalt's not afraid to appear in almost anything.
Better movie.
Just saying. Or worse for Patton Oswalt, one way or the other.
Yeah.
But even though I thought it really picked up a bit in the last third, despite a pretty tiresome Chevy Chase and Beverly D'Angelo.
Oh my God.
did he have dementia? Was that like the punchline?
I think Chevy Chase has dementia.
Yeah.
There have been some faculty problems going on there for a while. And poor Beverly D'Angelo, she looked like she was going to, like, make some kind of expression and just shatter her face.
Yeah, she obviously had a bit of work done, and maybe it didn't take completely.
Or it was several years
Or ago. She was an animatronic recreation of what Beverly D'Angelo would have looked like 10, 15 years ago.
Beverly D'Angelo bot?
Exactly. But there are moments that make this work. There are some laughs in here that are funny, but overall, this is just another piece of, you know, Hollywood, let's make an R-rated piece of comedic dreck. It's just better than a lot of the other R-rated dreck that gets shoved out into the, hey, frat students will like it.
Right.
And the whole field of 4-year-olds that were sitting behind us in the theater who were like,
yes!
I don't understand
we're
what's
crying.
Happening in this movie.
Yeah.
I'm going to give this 5 giant Hemsworth penises out of 10.
That's it.
Really?
Oh, no. Hey, man. I mean, shit. I'm straight, but I'm not that straight.
You know, if my penis was that big, I would walk around in my underwear everywhere.
I'd hang a watch from it.
You know, I could be the ugliest guy in the world. It would not matter. No woman would see my face. They'd be like, he had a face?
You know, women do love just dick pics.
It's true.
Well, man, when you got Thor's hammer hanging between your legs,
oh,
you know.
There it is.